Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition of the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and as always, I am here with my good friend, best friend, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing? Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I was trying to time it just right, so when you asked me how I was feeling, I would get the yawn in at the right time.
Well, how do you practice? Do you practice yawning?
Maybe I do.
I didn't know you could practice yawning. Is it an Olympic sport?
I think it's more timing.
Oh, timing. Yeah, I've never
it's
timed.
Not like strength of yawn. It's more like just capturing the moment.
So there's a lot of strategy involved.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not ready for that.
No.
All right, enough of that silly introduction right there. Welcome to the newest edition, people. We have a good episode here for you. As Kev laughs at me for some reason, probably just because I have terrible sunburn from yesterday being outside. But today we're going to, it's opening week, and Thursday is opening day for baseball, and that's the best day of the year. So we are just going to kind of give you a little bit of a general talk at the beginning. You know, we're going to go through the introduction. We just listened to the Ohtani press conference, which was more just a statement by Ohtani, and we'll go through some other stuff. But let's go through that Ohtani signing right now. Kev, do you have your initial thoughts? And I'll give mine. We haven't discussed this. Literally, it was just live 5-10 minutes ago, and we haven't talked about it. You got anything, Kev?
It wasn't a totally canned statement. It wasn't just like a one-page memo being like, you know, I'm not responsible. You know, I didn't do anything. Talk to my lawyer.
Yeah.
He went into a bit more detail than I was expecting him to, especially when he talked about how his translator or his interpreter was talking about like stealing from his bank account and using his money for the gambling purposes. Still denying responsibility, but I think to your point, we were talking about this right before the podcast. It's like you knew this guy for this long and he didn't have any inkling that he was gambling or betting. That's still a bit fishy.
Yeah, that's my only takeaway is that I believe that it was a pretty good statement by Ohtani. It didn't seem overly scripted. It kind of felt like he felt bad that it happened. But again, you knew this guy for, like they were talking about just on the MLB Network, they were together for 6 years. 6 years basically by his side the entire time, and you didn't know this guy's gambling. Like you and I are pretty close. I know a lot about you. I probably don't know everything, but the fact that he doesn't know that this guy gambles, like that's a pretty, I don't know. I feel like I would know if you gambled.
Yeah.
At this point, I've known you for how long? How long have we known each other?
11 years.
11.
Now?
Yeah. Just so that was 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11 years. Like, I feel like I would know that about you if that was the case, but I don't know. That's my only thing that I am a little bit hesitant to like. I also want to get both sides of the story. I'm not condemning Ohtani in anything. That's one thing I don't like talking about and or don't like doing in terms of like when there's he's innocent until proven guilty. That's the way that the world works in this system in the U.S. Obviously, in the media and social media, it's guilty until proven innocent because all of Twitter is just making fun of Ohtani with, oh, yeah, he had, you know, the Angels lost 10-2, but, you know, Ohtani had the over for a certain point. So it's kind of sad that it's come to that, but, and, you know, MLB is going to do whatever they can to sweep it under the rug, but if he was proven that he did bet, then he needs to face punishment for it.
The one comment I still get a kick out of was Shohei loves to go to LA because he loves Betts.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of Ohtani and Betts right next to each other?
No.
Like right, it was just the jerseys, and it was Ohtani and then Betts right there. I was just like, oh, man, yeah. Just bad timing.
Yeah.
But yeah, people, it's definitely, you know, one thing about the Junk Baller Podcast, we don't like talking about controversial issues. We don't get into politics. We don't get into religion, all that type of stuff. But this is the big news about MLB. So this might be the most controversial thing we'll probably talk about. You know, we didn't talk much about the Trevor Bauer situation because we just didn't feel like it was appropriate and
no.
Not something that we really want to get into. But Shohei's the biggest player in baseball, best player in baseball. And it's the biggest story in MLB. So I feel like we have to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
We're not indicting him in any way, but we want to hear both sides. We want to hear more information before we talk about it more in detail.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely sad if it's true. with everything, but I hope it's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in other news, Blake Snell signed with the Padres since we talked.
The Giants.
Oh, he's from the Padres. Yeah. It's been a long day for both Kevin and I, people. It's been a long day. I had a rough day on Sunday. Kev had a rough day today. I'm exhausted. He's exhausted. But we are here giving you our voices out of love, I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
That's why we're just roughing each other up.
Yes. Blake Snell signed with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
He was a former Padre.
Yes.
So he signed a one-year deal, even though it's technically two. It's a one-year with an opt-out, because he's definitely going to opt out after that 1 year to re-enter the market, because otherwise he's going to be 2 years older after this contract. But basically, it was a two-year, $64 million deal, I believe.
$62
million. $62 million. And I think that it's a good signing for the Giants, but it definitely helps because that ballpark's going to help him a lot. The Giants kind of had an underrated offseason with the amount of signings that they had. But, you know, Blake Snell signed. Scott Boras, another client that didn't get $100 million. Mm-hmm. It's truly incredible how GMs and owners are like, you know what, we're not going to give in to this guy. And it's kind of unfortunate because all of his clients are like at that like 30, 31 age, except for Bellinger. Bellinger's a little bit younger, but he's been inconsistent. But also demanding the moon, like over $200 million. Blake Snell was demanding over $200. And Blake Snell turned down $150 million from the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's only got $64 guaranteed, basically. So,
but, I mean, for the Giants, it's the perfect deal or as good a deal as they could get for Blake Snell. It's 2 years, which, you know, if it doesn't work out, they're not stuck with a 10-year or 7-year contract with this guy. Because we've seen how inconsistent this guy can be.
Yep.
Sure, he's a 2-time Cy Young winner, but has he been consistently a great pitcher over that time span? He hasn't.
No.
So 2 years is just right, and if they want to continue that relationship, if he pitches well, they can, you know, re-sign. But if not, they could just cut the cord and move on from him.
I agree. I don't really have I don't have anything else really to say.
Yeah.
As I can't get words out. Obviously.
The only thing I would say is that it's yet another prediction I got wrong, which I expected.
I
in the back of my mind, I knew he wasn't going to sign with LA. I just wanted to throw it out there as something to predict, but I think the Giants would be my realistic choice.
Yeah.
To go.
The Yankees were going to go after him. But kind of glad that he didn't sign with the Yankees, because I don't think he would have done well with the Yankees. Like, just his personality seems like he's going to take criticism very harshly. And just because you remember during COVID, he made some comments that were kind of dumb. And but yeah, I think he's going to be better on the West Coast with that type of vibe. The only thing else I want to add is that Jordan Montgomery is the last Boras client to not been signed, because JD Martinez signed with the Mets 1 year. Did you see the details of that contract? It's 1 year, 12 million guaranteed, but it's a base salary of $2.5 million, with the rest pretty much being either a signing bonus or deferrals for like 5-6 years, or deferrals for years.
Why are these contracts?
I don't get it. I guess obviously that's to stay under the tax threshold, because maybe if they signed him to the $14 million guaranteed and was just part of the base salary, then they might have been above the next threshold maybe. I didn't look too much into it, but.
Well, I'm looking at Snell's contract details right now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar. So it's like he has an opt-out after 2024. You mentioned that already. He'll earn $15 million in 2024 with a $17 million signing bonus payable on January 15, 2026. He'll earn $30 million
in
2025.
Wait, what? So he's getting $15 million this year, and then he's getting $17 million from the Giants in 2026, even if he's not pitching for them.
Yep.
What? Oh, my God.
He'll earn $30 million in 2025, of which $15 million will be deferred and paid on July 1st, 2027. Like, what are these deals?
Wow.
What are these contracts?
It's just, everything's just going to turn into a Bobby Bonilla-type contract eventually.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you know what? We're going to sign, Corbin Carroll's under contract. You know, Adley Rutschman. We're going to be like, you know what? He's a catcher. We're going to get the best years out of him. We're going to pay him. You know what? We're going to pay him $100 million, like, you know, 20 years down the road. I mean, Griffey's still getting paid. Manny Ramirez is still getting paid. Bobby Bonilla's still getting paid. What the heck is going on? It's ridiculous. But Yeah, that's weird. And Montgomery hasn't been signed, so he's the only one. But J.D. Martinez signed. Montgomery's the only one that hasn't been signed. Apparently, the Yankees are interested in him. He's got two. What the reports are saying is that he's got two contract offers long term. I believe one of them probably is the Yankees, because the Yankees have been rumored to be interested. The Phillies are also rumored to be interested, but I believe on a shorter term deal. So we could possibly get one another deal where it's like 2 year option, you know, 1 year, 25, 30. I don't know if Montgomery's going to get $30 million.
I don't think so.
I would say probably like 1 year, maybe 2025, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe with a vesting option for 30 the next year. Possibly.
They could use Montgomery right now.
Phillies or Yankees?
The Yankees.
Yeah.
They could. But we'll get to that.
Yes, we can.
Oh, and DJ's has a bruised right foot, so he won't be starting the year.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Big surprise.
But, yeah, we got a fun episode for you. And now we're going to transition to our junk ball.
Junk ball.
Junk ball.
Junk ball.
Junk ball.
Junk ball.
Section.
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 Section. Section.
Section. Section. Section.
The delay was still a bit
wow,
off.
We tried, people. We tried. We only ran through it once. I tried to be as best we could, but we're trying to get some transitions so that way you know when the next topic is, you know, just to be a little bit easier. But we literally tried to plan that, what, 5 minutes before we started?
Yeah,
not even.
Not even.
But now we're going to go to the junk ball section and talk about our, what are we going to talk
season,
about?
Season. Preview.
Yes, our season preview. We're going to go through, Kev's going to cover the AL. I'm going to cover the NL. Do you want to do it by divisions? So that way it's like, you know, you go through the AL East, I go through the NL East. So that way it's not just all NL AL. What do you think?
Well, I kind of had an order in which I was going to choose talk about my divisions already, but not it's not geographical.
Okay. Wait, so say that again. I brain fart.
So it's not like East, Central, West. It's like out of order.
Oh, you're just going to go basically like number one, the best team, second best team?
No, goodness, no. No, I'm talking about like sorry, guys. I wrote this up like 2 hours before we started. So this is rushed. I apologize. But I started with the worst division, in my opinion, and worked up to the best.
Okay. I can do that. Let's do that. So why don't you start, and I'll make sure that I'm right behind you.
Well, saving the first for worst. and the last is certainly not the least. And I don't know if too many people would dispute that this is the worst division in the American League.
I bet you I could guess, too.
That big cheery smile on your face, can you guess it?
Can I guess? Do you want me to guess?
Yes.
AL Central.
Oh, dang it. Didn't work. I tried to hit the effects button.
Don't worry about that.
We won't do that again. But the most exciting thing about this division to me is who would finish in last. And here's my thing. I do think the White Sox will be worse.
Yes.
Because they have given up on this year pretty much already by trading Cease.
Yep.
While the Royals are being more aggressive in betting their future on Bobby Witt Jr. in that contract, which honestly is a bit much. I know he had a great second season, but 11 years and almost $300 million after 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's like the Julio Rodriguez thing contract too. Like,
yeah.
But his was more incentive based. This is Bobby Witt's is very much almost all guaranteed.
Yeah.
At this point,
they're really going all in on him, and that's why I think because of their aggressive nature and the White Sox philosophy of just this is going to be a dead year. I think that's why the White Sox will be worse. But the bottom two both lost over 100 games last year, and I don't think that's going to change dramatically. The Royals will probably be a bit better. Did the White Sox lose 100 games last year?
They were close. If they weren't close.
I think the Royals did.
Yes.
Yeah,
the Royals, but I think the Nationals.
I think the Royals will be better than that. I don't think they'll lose 100 games.
Mm.
But they're not going to contend.
They signed a decent amount of players. Not like superstars, but they signed some veterans to help them out with the team.
Yeah.
It kind of also established kind of like a veteran leadership role because they signed Seth Lugo. Who else did they sign? They signed a couple bullpen pieces, but they definitely added some depth and veteran leadership to help with the, and they had Salvi too. hopefully, yeah. Hopefully he stays healthy.
Yeah, he's been there forever. Mm-hmm. above those two are the mediocre teams. So we had the crappy teams, and now we have the two mediocre teams filling the middle.
Yeah.
The middle-of-the-road Guardians and the middle-of-the-road Tigers. Cleveland didn't really do anything.
Nope.
I think this offseason to change. And while the Tigers got a few prospects, they got Scooball there, who,
yeah,
and a couple other prospects I was seeing when I was scrolling through. They're still too young to make a huge impact this year.
Yep.
But sort of like the Royals, because Detroit has that potential, I think they got that leg up on Cleveland because they're trying.
You don't think that Cleveland's trying, at least? I mean, they had Jose. They have J-Ram.
I think they're a little complacent.
Yeah, I think they're also relying a lot on their prospects, like Taylor Beebe. I think it's Beebe. He pitched. I saw him pitch in Cleveland one of the games. He toasted the Phillies. I think that he's. I would switch the Cleveland and Detroit because you know, want to know why? Detroit has Javi Baez, and Javi Baez is terrible. That's what I would switch. Yeah, sorry. That's just my yeah.
Yeah. And then I hate talking about this division, but thankfully it's short.
Yeah.
That leaves us with Minnesota.
Yep.
Who are still the best team in the Central Division. Then they won a playoff series for once.
Yep, they did.
First time in like
years. Didn't I say that they were going to do that in one of my hot takes?
I don't remember.
I did. I said they were going to win a playoff series.
I won a playoff series.
I think. Or at least I said they might win one game at least. Because they hadn't won a game.
I think it was a game or a playoff series.
It might have been a game. I'll go look at the
Because I think it was a wild since they even won a game in the postseason.
Yeah, because they kept getting swept by the Yankees, it seemed like. Yeah.
On the downside, they don't have Sonny Gray, and losing him hurts because rotation is not their strength. Pablo Lopez does just fine.
Mm-hmm.
He had a tremendous few games in the postseason, but I don't think he's ace material.
Yeah, no, he's got like that 1A type guy, like almost like a B.
Yeah, yeah. His ERA was in the high threes.
Yeah.
He didn't reach four, but...
He's got a lot of potential, but you just don't think him as like, oh, yeah, he's got an ace. He can carry the team, you know?
Yeah.
No, I agree.
They don't have Jorge Polanco either.
Yeah, they got rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, sorry, continue. Yeah.
No, you can go ahead.
So I don't know what your point is next. So I'll probably add it to once you're done. I'll add it once you're done.
With that said, they still have Royce Lewis, who is fun to watch and has great potential himself.
Mr. Grand Slam, pretty
much. Byron Buxton has been dealing with knee issues the last few seasons, but when he's healthy, I mean, he's fun to watch too, and he could be a comeback player of the year if he does well.
Yeah.
I think he has that enough talent to do that. And, you know, you still have Correa there while he was also hurt.
Gosh.
He hasn't been all that great, but I guess he still does the job. So far, he's been... Is it safe to say he's been a bust so far in Minnesota?
Yes. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. But even with their weaknesses, they're fortunate enough to play in a weak division, and the Twins are a pretty safe bet to win the AL Central because there's no one else better in it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was going to say that Buxton is kind of like their, like, if he's healthy, they're probably going to do well. If he's not... Like, it's not that he's, like, the heart of the team, but it almost feels like at the same time, Royce Lewis is going to be very good. I love Royce Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
He's always had health problems, too, and he finally came up and tied the rookie record for Grand Slams or broke it, and he was only up for, like, not even half a season.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think the first at-bat he had in spring training was a Grand Slam. I was like, good Lord, this guy. I think that Byron Buxton is the catalyst for that team. If he's healthy and does well and actually puts together a full season, it's going to be fun to watch. And the Twins will be a playoff team win that division. Like I said, they're not going to win 90 games. You think they're going to win 90 games?
No, I think more like 87, 88 games.
Yeah, that's like, I see that as max. I just think that division's going to be bad.
Yeah.
No. No, I agree. You want me to transition to my NL Central?
Is that your worst division?
Yes, it is.
That doesn't surprise me either.
go ahead. Yeah, so I'll go bottom to top, just like you did. Mine might be a little bit more controversial, not like just because, you know, the team that I'm picking to finish last won the division last year. For for the NL Central, the Brewers. I feel like the Brewers are kind of resetting, and I think they're gonna reset hard. Obviously, they still have some talent with Yelich, Adamas, but they're also looking to trade Adamas. But they traded Corbin Burns. They got rid of Craig Counsell as their manager. They signed Reese, which I love Reese, but I just don't see Reese as like a game changer type player for Milwaukee. Woodruff's on the IL for the season. And also, Devin Williams is out for probably the whole year based off, but even though it only says like a couple months, but he's going to be out for the entire year.
Yeah.
And with the other teams getting better, as I'll talk about soon, I just think that they're going to finish kind of like they're not going to do well. I just don't see them being they can be competitive, but I don't see them being I just don't see them happening. I just don't think they have their bullpen is they're going to be their best asset. But even with Devin Williams out, but they got some pieces in that bullpen that showed some flashes last year. But it's like I said, it almost feels like a soft rebuild type thing. Mm-hmm. But they lose their manager to the Cubs, and they traded their best players, and then it just felt like they're trying to shred payroll and get some stuff back before they reset.
Do you think it's that much of a deconstruction for them to finish last in the NL Central?
After winning division, yes. From first to worst, yes. I based off of this division, that's the reason why. Because then my next is I think the Cubs are the next worst teams. Yes, I know. And I know this is the reason why. Is that they fell off hard last year after starting off fairly well. Like they were kind of inconsistent. Like they were good, then bad, then good, and then they fell off hard. Like they were projected to be the team the Phillies faced in the wild card, and then they lost like four or five games in a row. And they just didn't feel like they have the potential. They have potential. They don't have, I think, the depth or the consistency to win that. To win that division, like Bellinger, are we going to get the good Bellinger? Or are we going to get the bad Bellinger? You know, Dansby Swanson's not MV caliber type player, but he's a good shortstop. Suzuki, who they signed last year, is a decent player, but not great. Not great player. They lost Stroman. They signed Imanga, or I can't remember how to pronounce his name.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so you never know how he's going to transition because Yamamoto got roughed up in his first start. Like I feel like they could be good, but I don't think that they're going to be good. I think that they'll have be inconsistent and just not put everything together. That's kind of how I feel about them. Yeah. And the reason why is that I believe the Pirates are going to be the next team in the division. They're going to finish third. Obviously, they don't have a ton of confidence in there. Like, it's still a lot of like potential. But O'Neill Cruz is coming back. Hopefully, get a resurgence with him. They re-signed Mitch Keller to a contract, who had a decent year last year. And they have a lot of prospects. They obviously Paul Skenes, the number one pick in the draft. He's starting in the minor leagues, but I expect him to be up just because of his potential and just the excitement of the team. But I think that. Their team's going to put it all together. I don't think they're going to be like the best team because they're going to be finished third, but I think they're going to be better than people think. Key Brian Hayes, I think he's going to have a good year. He's going to put it together offensively. Who's their freaking catching prospect that they had? Pirates, I can't remember his name. I'm not going to go into that, but he came up last year and had a little bit of a rough year, but he's going to hopefully do better. Like I said, I think they're going to do better. I don't think they're going to be great, but they're going to do better. So that's the Pirates, finishing third in the NL Central. Next is the Reds. Reds have a ton of young talent, And I think they're going to kind of be like the D-backs of last year, where everyone kind of is like, you know what, they could do really well if everything works out. And what kind of De La Cruz are we going to get? Are we going to get the first week of De La Cruz where he was pretty much taking MLB by storm? Or are we going to get, you know, the really slumped off and couldn't get finished with a 2-something batting average the rest of the way? So I think the Reds like, I can't remember. They added Frankie Montas to the top of rotation. I know that he was a former Yankee, but they're kind of hoping that he does well there. I guess
probably.
Yeah. I don't see the Reds being like they're kind of be like an 80-win team, 82-win team, but I don't, but I think that they're going to kind of be with the Pirates, like Pirates will be middle of the pack type thing. Like Pirates, Cubs and Reds all kind of finish with like 78 to like 84 wins, you know, kind of, but they're just like bad, you know. Just feels like they, but they could, like, that's max type of wins. They could finish below, just because of it being just, I just don't think it's a great division. Kind of like with the AL Central. And that leaves us to the number one team in that division, the Cardinals. I remember last year I picked the Cardinals to win the, I think the championship and possibly the World Series. I thought they, I just thought that they were going to be good, but their pitching sucked last year. So what they do, they went out and signed Sonny Gray, who unfortunately is starting the season on the IL. They went and go and they got Kyle Gibson, and they also got their former friend Lance Lynn to sign with them. The one thing they were, all the people were complaining, all they did was sign old guys. Well, apparently inside the clubhouse, there was a lot of complaining from veterans that they didn't have enough veterans to get the guys who were young to basically be a good influence. So they had a young clubhouse, and with Nolan Arenado and Goldschmidt leading that clubhouse, they said they needed some more veteran leadership. So they went outside old guys, including Yankee legend Matt Carpenter, who is a former Cardinal and now a current Cardinal. And I think that the Cardinals are going to finish the best team in that division. Now, kind of like the Twins, maybe 87 wins, 86. But, you know, I don't see them being the top of the NL just with how much talent there is in the other NLs. But, yeah. Thoughts?
First of all, it's Arriendo, not Arenado.
No, it's not. Don't you dare. Stop it. He's my favorite player. It's not a Philly. Gosh, get out of here.
I would agree with the division winner. I think they're going to bounce back after what happened last year.
Correct.
I think last year was just a down year recovering from their core really retiring.
Yeah.
And, you know, bringing in other pieces to, you know, rebuild from what they did last year. Because yeah. I don't think they're a bad team.
No.
They just had a down year.
Yeah. Their pitching sucked. I think all their starters finished. I think I went through this on a podcast. Yeah. All their starters finished with above 5 ERA.
Yeah.
Like, that's absurd. That's just, how does that happen? Unless you're literally a terrible team.
I don't think it's terribly out of the question for Milwaukee to finish in last because, like you said, they traded away all these people and they lost their manager.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with Corbin Burnes going.
Yeah. That's, like,
and they got him, they traded him away for nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
They got nothing back for him.
Nothing.
The middle of that division's tricky for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like those three could be switched up in any order.
That's kind of how
I think Cody Bellinger is the wild card. I think if he has the kind of year that people expect of him, especially with that contract, I think the Cubs will probably finish above the other two.
Okay. Yeah.
But other than that, I think it's pretty interchangeable. The Pirates are a weird team to me.
I'm just buying in on the prospects.
The prospects are the real reason.
Yeah.
They also sign some guys, but they usually, like, the thing with the Pirates is that they sign them and then they trade them away at the deadline.
Oh, yeah, no. Pirates, so like, I could see the, like, this is my prediction. I could totally see the Pirates being like a 50-60 win team.
Yeah.
Easily. But I also see them being, with their prospects panning out, I think they could be a middle of the pack team with kind of like the Orioles were a year ago. And so then, or 2 years ago, like the Orioles were like, you know, or no, maybe it was the D-backs a couple years ago. But yeah, that's kind of how I'm predicting it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Not bad so far.
All right. What's next?
Now we're going on to the West.
Okay.
Because that's what I feel like talking about next. And okay. I want to save the East for last. And also, yeah. They're better than the Central.
We should save the East for last. We know the East is the best.
We know the East is the best anyway. Yeah. So anyway, let's start from the bottom with the two quintessential poverty franchises in baseball.
Oh, man. Who are they?
Take a guess.
The Oakland Athletics.
Yes.
And the, Anaheim Angels?
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
One for two.
Yeah.
Darn.
You're so close.
So close.
Well, soon it would be the Las Vegas A's, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe they'll end up in, like, Reno or something because they can't get a stadium in Vegas.
Oh, gosh. Lord help us, people.
But anyway, what is there to say about these two teams, really? The A's lost 112 games. I guess they can't be worse than that this year.
Oh, they signed Alex Wood.
Yeah, big deal.
Yeah, was that their only signing? I can't even remember who else they signed.
I think they'll still lose more than 100 games. Who cares? They're going to Vegas because everybody wants them to go there now. Let's move on.
Yeah, I agree.
Not super far ahead of them are their counterparts in the same state, the other quote-unquote L.A. team, Anaheim.
Yeah.
It's not
it's
L.A.
Anaheim.
Well,
it's Anaheim.
Who are we kidding?
Yeah.
Incredible how they made the postseason only once with Trout and Ohtani.
Oh,
it really shows you how awful they are. They have some youth that I was looking at, but if Trout isn't healthy, there's zero reason to watch this team.
Yeah.
Who would I watch? Rendon? Please.
Dude, oh, God. He doesn't even like baseball.
Child, please. So let's talk about some real teams.
Jeez. I hope that Trout's healthy. It'd be really good if Trout was really healthy. Because then maybe they'll be like, you know what? We should just trade him. We should just trade him. A team will be like, hey, we'll give you this for a Trout. And Trout gets traded.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Like, I want to be sad for Trout, but he also chose this destiny for himself.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of, yeah.
He's loyal to the team, and that's the one thing I'll give him credit for. But, I mean, he's getting what he deserves.
Yeah.
He signed for it,
yeah.
You know?
California taxes, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next.
Up next is the team that plays at Safeco Field. I still call it Safeco Field.
Yeah, because T-Mobile, screw that. No, yeah. Safeco.
Screw that noise. The Mariners are the team Jorge Polanco went to, because we mentioned him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And to the relief of Seattle fans, is the team that traded Robbie Ray away. Ray away.
There you go. You didn't plan that one.
No, I didn't. Robbie Ray away.
There you go. Good. There we go.
You can't talk about the Mariners without bringing up Julio.
Julio. J-Rod. Let's go.
J-Rod. The star of this team and deservedly so.
Yes.
Sure, they have J.P. Crawford, but Julio is the key to this lineup. And without those two players I mentioned, they're not bad, but they're not all-star caliber players in that lineup. The Mariners' success will also depend a great deal on their rotation,
which is
fantastic.
Yeah, voted number one by Baseball Power Rankings.
And deservedly so, with Castillo, Kirby, and Gilbert at the top.
Yep.
It's arguably one of the better top three rotations out there. They lost Seawald in their bullpen, which is not a strength of the team. So, what's his name? Munoz?
Yeah,
Munoz?
He came in and actually did pitch fairly well.
He did all right,
He did win, I think, Reliever of the Month one of the months last year. I can't remember which one it was.
So he'll have to prove himself, so we'll see how that goes. If they were in the AL Central, I think they'd take it, but I guess you could say that for most teams outside the AL Central.
Yeah, Phillies or Dodgers would win probably 120 games. Braves would win 130. Jeez.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought. But because of the two other teams in the West and their postseason struggles the last few years, I think they'll be sitting pretty in the middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. They'll probably get the wild card, I would think, one of the wild card spots.
Gotcha.
But it's just the other two teams are just overall better.
Yeah.
Now, the top two teams are a bit trickier to sort out. Because on the one hand, the Rangers are the defending World Series champions. They have an MVP caliber player in Seager, solid players in Garcia and Simeon, up-and-comers like Wyatt Langford, but they have a huge, huge question mark in their rotation because they don't have their top two pitchers for the first half of the year. They don't have Scherzer. They don't have DeGrom, who, if healthy, could be the best 1-2 pitch in baseball, but 1-2 punch in baseball, but they're both hurt. And Scherzer is old and DeGrom's just hurt all the time now.
Montgomery's not on the roster either.
Yeah.
So who's
exactly.
Ivaldi their opening day starter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was just going to say they're still Jerome Montgomery, who's still testing the waters of free agency as of the recording of this podcast and very well might not be going back.
I don't think I heard that Chris Young, their GM, said that they're not exploring the trade. Now, I could be proven wrong. We've seen crazier things happen.
Yeah. The bullpen was terrible last year. And they didn't get Hader, which could have been a big boost for them.
Yeah, what the heck? Come on.
They went to the wrong Texas team.
Wrong Texas team.
Wrong Texas team. Overall, there's too many question marks for me to crown them the division champions.
Oh, man. Man.
Now, if they could stay afloat until Scherzer and DeGrom get back, I think they still have a shot, but they just don't have the kind of steady core that Houston has.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that leads me to the Astros, the team I just loathe more with each passing year.
Yes.
Let's be honest. They took the Rangers to Game 7 despite the injuries in their rotation. Mm-hmm. If they were healthier, they probably would have won it all over again.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness for the Rangers. Thank you.
Yes.
Winning that Game 7.
Yes. I agree.
They still have all their guys, Altuve, Bregman, Tucker, Alvarez.
They're all a year older. They're all a year older.
They're all a year older, but they're still there. They could still play.
Yeah.
Again, their rotation can be an issue because they were not as healthy last year.
Is Verlander starting on the IL?
I didn't think he was.
Okay. Why did I feel like he's start? I feel like he is starting on the IL.
Is he?
Yeah. Let me talk.
But, I mean, if it is healthy, you know, those guys could still pitch with, like, Framer Valdez and Verlander. And yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want to talk about Houston anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll dominate the West. But I think they'll win mid-90s games and the Rangers a couple games behind them.
Yeah.
And then Seattle not far behind. So it's just kind of like Houston, Texas, Seattle.
Yeah.
And then Oakland and the A's. Who cares?
Yeah. So Verlander is throwing live batting practice, 30 to 35 pitches live batting practice right now. So that's it. So he's still multiple weeks away, as they say.
Okay.
So they obviously, and he's 41 years old. We've talked about this last year with the Mets, like with Scherzer and Verlander. If you're relying on two 40-year-old guys to lead your bullpen or lead your rotation, it's going to be tough. So that's the same thing with, or not the same thing, but.
Well, give him roids like Clemens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He could pitch till he's 45 and he has a 1.85 ERA or something.
We should have a podcast about steroids.
We should.
We should. So I think the rotation for the Houston Astros is going to be a bigger issue than they think. A lot of their guys are very young, and Framber's on the IL because he's getting Tommy John. Mm. There's got to be a down year for them, right? There's got to be a down year. And I feel like with the Mariners getting better and the Rangers, quote unquote, winning and being more established, that this got to be the down year. You know, like someone gets hurt long term or something like that.
Is it this year?
I feel like it's this year. I just have a feeling it's this year. Like the dynasty has to die soon. Like they go and sign Hader, like crap. They just got better. But will they? I don't know.
It depends on the health of the rotation.
Yeah, because they have Abreu and Presley in that bullpen to really...
Yeah.
Oh, man, that bullpen is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's...
Crap.
Yeah.
Let it be the year. Please be the year. but yes, no, I pretty much agree with you on everything there. The only thing I could see the Seattle being... If everything works out for Seattle, I could see them taking the division. But that's the best case scenario for everything. Mm-hmm. J-Rod has an MVP year. Their top three guys are all very close to Cy Young caliber players, like all-stars.
Build up the bottom of their lineup, and they'll have a shot,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the bottom half of their lineup isn't good.
Yes.
But the top half with those other guys is good.
100%. All right. Now we're moving to the other other West division. The NL West.
Mm-hmm.
And another lowly, terrible team that seems to make terrible decisions. The Colorado Rockies.
Poor Colorado.
What is exciting about that team? Is there anything? You just feel bad for Chris Bryant.
If you get the right seats in the ballpark, you get to see the Rocky Mountains.
It was a good was a good view.
Maybe you'll get, don't they have a row in Coors Field where you're exactly a mile high?
Yeah, it's the purple row. Yeah, it's pretty cool. That stadium was really nice. I love that stadium. Yeah, it was good views. Good. Honestly, they had like a foot-long hot dog with peppers. It was only $8. I was like, that's actually a pretty good deal.
Not bad.
So the Rockies, there's nothing exciting about them. Nothing whatsoever. They had one guy. Oh, God. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I didn't write it down. But he was on my fantasy team last year and was actually pretty good. But Chris Bryant's the only thing that's recognizable name. Everything else is kind of just eh. So they're going to finish last. If they don't finish last, it's because they had great prospects and it's just the other division teams were terrible. Yeah, I don't have anything more to say.
Their starters combined to post a 5.91 ERA at home and on the road.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just a home problem. It was also an away problem. I mean, pitching-wise, historically, Colorado's never been like, oh my goodness, they're pitching spectacular. They've had pitchers that have been good.
1 year of Ubaldo Jimenez.
Wow, yeah.
Who started the All-Star game over Doc. Hated that. Ugh, hated that. Yeah, so let's move on. The team that I had mentioned earlier in this podcast, the Giants. Now, I think that they had a very underrated offseason. I think they signed a lot of players. They signed Chapman, Jordan Hicks, Snell, Soler, and there was one other guy. They signed one other guy. I didn't write it down, but those are the guys that I feel that were definitely impact players that they signed. They traded Robbie Ray. They traded for Robbie Ray.
Mm-hmm.
So their bullpen or their rotation is pretty solid if 1 through 5, if Robbie Ray comes back in the middle of the season from the Tommy John, is pretty good. And be that Cy Young. He's going to do well in that ballpark, I think. Even with all the signings that they got, you know, Conforto's still in that lineup along with Lamont Wade. And they have a decent lineup. But I think this division's kind of going to be like the powerhouse division of the NL. Like, I think that three teams could come out of this, and I just don't think the Giants are going to be up to the competition of the other teams in the division. Like, I could see them being an 80-win team max, but I don't see them taking over the Dodgers, Padres, or D-backs in this division. That's what I just feel that way. Like, they have a good team. They have a good team, but not a great team. Bob Melvin's the new manager. Gabe had that one good year in San Francisco, so we'll see what happens. But I just don't – it could go – I just don't see it going super well. I see it either going okay or terrible. D-backs, they're next. They got off to a hot start. I think they'll get off to a hot start. But I think they're going to fall short of the playoffs because of the rotation depth. Eduardo Rodriguez is already starting on the IL because of a lat strain. So they have, I'm freaking blanking on the names. I should know. Gallen and the guy that,
Kelly,
thank you. I didn't write this down. I had this on. I know this information. I have wrote down some bullet point stuff. But Gallen and Kelly, I think they're going to be good. But I don't think that their rotation is going to be able to hold up for 162 games of the season. I think it'll be okay. Their offense and defense, pretty good. But I just don't think that they didn't do enough to make me think, oh, man, they're going to go back to the NLCS, you know, and in World Series. I just don't see that. They could be a wild card team. They could. I don't know. Just don't see it happening.
I think I've mentioned this before. I think the Diamondbacks overperformed last year.
Yeah.
They were our surprise team.
Yes.
But they were, I think they did much better than they actually are.
Yeah, I agree. They got hot in the playoffs. You know, I think it was personal with the Dodgers when they did that. And then the Dodgers were the division series, yeah, because they beat the Brewers in the wild card. And then they faced us, and Philly should have won that series.
They should have,
But the D-backs had a strategy where they were just going to throw balls to the Phillies, and the Phillies were chasing them. So I think the D-backs will get up to a hot start, even despite the Rodriguez injury. But I think that they're just going to fall off. Corbin Carroll, I don't see him being the mainstay that can like lead a team. Like, he's a great player, but I just don't see him being a player that is like a Bryce Harper or an Aaron Judge type player that can lead a team for couple months, you know, of his season.
I agree.
So then it leads me to the Padres, who I had kind of below the D-backs until the Dylan Cease trade, because I didn't know what the heck the Padres were doing. They wanted to cut payroll. I know that. So they got rid of Soto because he was going to earn $30 million this year, and then the contract. So they were like, you know what? We're going to get what we can for Soto. And then they did. But they still have four shortstops on their roster that are playing all through, or five shortstops or whatever, playing throughout their field, with Tatis playing in right field, who won the Platinum Glove. You have Machado, who's going to be there for a while, who Bogarts, who they moved to second base,
yes,
and then Hyung-Sung Kim at shortstop with Cronenworth at first base. They have a decent lineup with everything with everyone healthy.
Yes.
With Cease, Musgrove, Darvish, and a couple other guys. Maybe did they sign Seth Lugo? I can't remember.
No, I thought Lugo isn't there anymore.
He's Kansas City, right, yeah. If they, like, I just feel like they didn't know what they were doing, and then they went and signed Dylan, they went and traded for Dylan Cease. I was like, okay, they're trying to win right now. Because I felt like they were going to eventually, like, you know what, we're going to sign these guys. We're going to have to trade them because they just can't afford it. But, you know, because I don't know, they're going to be able to afford Dylan Cease if he has a great year in 2 years. Like, I don't know.
It's almost similar to they were starting to go in the Brewers direction, I think, where they were trying to do maybe like a soft, like, you know, let's reevaluate some things.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, no, we should at least sign one guy or bring another person in. So they got Cease to fill that.
Because I know they re-signed, they get a contract extension for Darvish last year. Same thing with Musgrove the year before, I believe. So those guys were locked up for at least a couple years. But so you had some guys that were locked up. They lost Hader. That's a big loss.
Yes.
You just didn't know, because with Snell, Soto, and Hader all gone, they underperformed last year. They were supposed to be the team that dethroned the Dodgers, which they didn't. They were terrible last year. So I think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be great. I think they're going to be a playoff team, but we can see. It's really hit or miss. It really depends upon that rotation. Their offense should be good.
Yes.
And so that leads me to the Dodgers, who are the juggernaut of that NL West. I don't know. Are they going to set the record for most wins in MLB season? No, because I think Yamamoto's not going to have a good year. He got rocked. I just think that it's going to be like, it might take him a while to get used to it. He'll have a rough first half and then maybe get used to it at the end of the year. But I actually have some predictions about this team later on that we'll talk about. But they made the biggest splash in the entire offseason. They went and got Ohtani, Yamamoto, Glasnow, and another pitcher. Oh, they re-signed Kershaw.
Mm-hmm.
They have probably the best team on paper if everything goes well. If Ohtani is pitching, maybe. But then I would cater to probably the Braves just in overall. But the Dodgers are probably going to be a 100-win team. If they don't win 100 wins, don't get 100 wins, I think that's a failure in the ownership eyes, right? Like, that with all the hype that's going on, obviously the Ohtani news can dampen their spirits. But 1-2-3 with Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman, I don't know if there's a better trio right there. Because Freeman's really hard to strike out. Same thing with Mookie. And Ohtani can hit 500-foot home runs the opposite way. Like, I don't want to face them. But the rotation with Glasnow, Bobby Miller, Kershaw when he comes back in the middle of the year, hopefully Walker Buehler gets everything going. Like, their rotation, once Ohtani comes back next year, could be arguably one of the best ever if everything goes well. Because Bobby Miller's had a great rookie year. Glasnow's coming back. He's signed a contract extension. I think he's going to do well in L.A. and not be with Tampa. And Walker Buehler's, I think, got two more years of control left. And so he's coming back from Tommy John. If he does well, that rotation's solid, really good. So they're going to be the best team in the NL West. There's no question about that. If anyone thinks that they're not, it'd be silly. Like, they'd have to have some injury. It's like almost like the Mets last year, where I said that everything has to go right or everything's going to go wrong. I think more everything's going to go right just because I think they're not the Mets.
They're not the Mets, and they weren't hinging their bets on two players.
Correct.
The Dodgers are
they have depth.
They're such a deep team in their lineup and in their rotation.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, their pitching, I feel like, has always been good. But, like, the lineup that they have, like, having three MVP candidates back-to-back-to-back, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's happened. I'm sure it has, but, like,
might have been for the Yankees one year.
Probably, like, the 50s Yankees when they had, like, Barra, Mantle, and, you know.
Yeah, true.
All those guys. But in terms historically, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. No. Sorry. All right, let's transition to the did you have anything more to say? Sorry.
No, I'm pretty much in agreement. What was your order again? I'm sorry.
From bottom to top, Rockies.
Rockies.
Giants, D-backs, Padres, Dodgers.
Yeah.
Again, the middle three are kind of...
It's kind of like your...
NL Central.
Your NL Central a bit. The Diamondbacks were third?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
It is tough.
Like I think what you said was like the likeliest of the scenarios, but I could see the Diamondbacks and the Giants flipping too.
I could see that. Yeah. I think I see the...
I just don't trust the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I don't. Like their bullpen did really well last year, especially in the postseason, but I don't trust them. And I'm not doing as, like, I hate the D-backs because they beat us in the NLCS, but I don't trust them. Like, yeah. I just feel like they were like the Phillies of 2022 when the Phillies went to the World Series, but the Phillies had a lot more depth of guys that have done it before. These guys, they're a lot of prospects that they're banking on and young guys too.
They reminded me more of the Rockies in 2007. Where,
that's a good comparison.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think they still had, like, I mean, they had Todd Helton there and maybe a couple other people I can't remember. But in terms of, like, just thinking about the team that gets hot at exactly the right time.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks, I think, just got hot at the right time. And that's really all that matters. It's like the Cardinals some years.
Yep.
Cardinals have an 82-83 win season. They win the World Series.
Yeah, they beat the 2011 Phillies. All right, let's move on. I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Okay. Now to the division that gets on my nerves.
I'm curious to see where you place the Yankees here. I really want to hear your opinion.
Why can't New York play in the Central or something? Life would be happier. It would be happier. It would be stress-free. You know, they could beat up on the Twins all they want because they get to play them more often. It would be great. But do you know what makes me happy about this division? At least this year.
The Red Sox.
The Red Sox probably being in the basement this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They talked about making big moves and going full throttle, but they didn't do jack.
Nothing.
Unless you call replacing Sale with a pitcher who will be out for the year doing something.
Oh, what's his name? Oh, his name's Lucas Giolito?
Giolito.
Yeah, yep. That's his name. Oh, gosh. Who had like a 6 ERA last year after getting traded to Cleveland or the Angels? Who did he was on Cleveland and got traded to the Angels.
I forgot how he got there.
Oh,
but
God, it was terrible. Yeah. Terrible.
Top that off with letting Justin Turner go. I know he's older. He's like 38, but it's better than who to replace him. Trading Verdugo to the Yankees.
Yep.
And then picking up Liam Hendricks, a pitcher who's recovering from Tommy John surgery and cancer.
Yeah.
And he's a feel-good story, but he's not healthy.
Yeah, no, he's not. I love Liam.
And you have a recipe for what could be a bad team this year.
They're banking on Trevor Story to come back?
He's in a toll bus there.
Yeah.
I hope Rafael Devers enjoys carrying the team on his back.
Oh, my God. I don't feel bad for him. He did sign a big contract, $300 million contract. But that team, like, I know the fan base is definitely upset. I've heard from the fan bases that they are not happy with
I thought I heard Devers was unhappy, too.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the $300 million, that makes you happy in that sense. But their rotation sucks.
Yes.
Their offense sucks. I don't know anything about their defense, but, I mean, Devers isn't a gold glove third baseman. Trevor Story is a good – he's been playing second base. Yeah. They moved him to second base. Who's their shortstop?
And he can't hit.
Who's their shortstop?
Well, there was Jeter Downs for a little bit, wasn't he?
I don't know. I don't think he was playing that much.
He wasn't playing that much. Yeah. I think he's a Yankee now in their system or somewhere.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah. And Tristan Casas is their first baseman that I said was like, he's a top 100 player.
Wow.
I'm like, bull. No. No way.
Wow.
No way. Oh, they have
comeback team of the year.
They have the Asian right fielder. God, what's his name? He had a decent year. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I didn't prepare for this one.
Yeah, you're fine. I didn't do much either, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But they're going to suck. That's the point.
They are going to suck. And I'm going to go see them suck in the Phillies, but the Phillies will probably lose to them when I go see them. So.
So moving up the ladder is our friends north of the border.
Okay.
The All Blue right. Jays.
Yeah.
We should mention firstly that they were the victims of perhaps one of the biggest teases in baseball history.
Oh, yeah.
With the rumors of Ohtani flying to Toronto when he wasn't.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Just happened to be the Shark Tank guy.
Yeah. And he went the other way and went to LA instead, which was the better choice, let's be real.
I would agree.
But other than that, and getting an aging Turner, they didn't do that much either.
Yeah.
I feel like ownership still seems confident that the core of Guerrero, Bichette, and Strainer can carry them to victory.
Yeah.
And they could, but Guerrero and Strainer had down years this year. So I think they could come back.
And they lost Chapman.
And they lost Chapman, yes. And it's not only the lineup that may be iffy, but also the rotation, and namely in Kevin Gausman, who finished third in Cy Young voting in 2023.
Yeah.
He had some shoulder fatigue this spring, and he did make his spring training debut today.
Yeah.
He struck out 7, 1 earned run, and 3 hits over 3-plus innings, so pretty darn good outing.
Yeah.
But I would keep the eye on that shoulder.
Yeah.
It's kind of like UCL stuff. When I hear shoulder problems, I'm like, that's...
Yep. Hey, I had shoulder problems, people.
Exactly. But, I mean, they're sort of like the Mariners, too, where they have a great rotation.
Yeah.
The second lowest ERA in the American League last year. But having Gausman there would greatly benefit that. The reason why I placed them fourth is because I do not think the ceiling is as high for them when everyone is healthy as the next team I'm going to talk about when their guys are healthy. Any thoughts on the Blue Jays before I go to that?
I think that, you know, they are relying a lot on their core with Bichette, Guerrero, and Springer. But they added, I think it was just yesterday, they selected the contract of Daniel Vogelbach. So could he get a stolen base in Canada? You know, maybe. They traded for Dalton Varsho last year or at the trade deadline, I believe, and he was okay. He's kind of like that utility guy. Kevin Biggio's kind of been a bust in their prospect stuff.
A lot of the kids of the MLD players.
Correct. Yeah. And they signed IKF.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big moves.
Yeah.
Big moves.
So, no, I think if they can tread water for, you know, I think their rotation's better than probably you say that they are probably? Because I like Gausman.
Better than who?
Well, no, I think that I think that they are better than probably what you think they are.
I don't get what you're saying.
I think the Toronto Blue Jays rotation.
They are
rotation,
who they think we are?
No. The Toronto Blue Jays rotation is decent and good. Like, I think that they're pretty good.
I think they're good.
Okay, but you started off with Kevin Gausman being, you know, the shoulder.
Well, because losing him would be a big deal.
Yeah. I think their wild card is Manoah, because if he comes back to what he was 2 years ago, then I think that they're going to be, yeah. So, because I like Berrios. He had a little bit of a down year. Bassett was a free agent signing last year. I think he's going to be good. And Kikuchi, I love Kikuchi. That dude's got some fire in him.
And a great name.
Yes, he does. I think that they could win the division if everything goes well, but I kind of am okay with them finishing fourth too.
Yeah.
But just because I think maybe go into your next team. Sorry.
I think the next team will be the Yankees here.
Okay.
I'm placing them third here exactly because they have the biggest question marks of any of the teams I've talked about.
I would agree.
Cole's hurt. DJ is hurt. Judge was hurt. Rodon and Cortez were both hurt last year. You notice a pattern. And their main guys like Rizzo and Stan, they're in their 30s. They brought in Stroman and made a major splash with Soto. And they're going to need both of them to live up to their expectations that the Yankees are going to stay afloat, at least until Cole returns, if he comes back. Yeah, and that's a huge, huge question mark.
He's not coming back.
I think we discussed this in the last podcast, and I would agree. Then when you hear UCL injuries, Tommy John is usually the inevitable result of a UCL injury.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
Yep.
It's just a question of when. And that would be a huge loss for them.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have Cortez as their starting pitcher on opening day. And I like Cortez.
Yeah.
He's good, but he's not Cole. Rodon could pitch well. He wasn't good last year, and he was hurt.
Yeah.
You have Clark Schmidt in there too. Lewis Gill, I think, is their fifth starter. Not terrible guys, but it just hurts without Cole being there. They have some younger guys that I'm excited to see, like Oswaldo Cabrera. I like watching him. You know, you have Gleyber Torres still, who I like playing the infield. They have major upside and everything works out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I've been hearing about Thilo constantly, because I feel like when I watch like MLB Network or I read an article or I listen to a podcast about it, they're really hyping up the Yankees. And I think there's decent reason for it, because if they are healthy and they play the way they should, they could be a top 10 team in baseball. But if they can't get it together and it falls apart, I think it could be a disaster of a season. And that's why I'm putting them right in the middle, because they have major upside, but also super major downside if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I agree. The Cole injury really, I felt bad for you, because that Cole injury is huge. And I've told you multiple times, he's not coming back. It's gonna be a UCL Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
They're just prolonging it right now, hoping, because you know they signed Soto, like, crap, we just gotta have one good year at least with Soto, unless he doesn't re-sign. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of what ifs with it. Like, I really hope Rodon does well, because I wanted the Phillies to sign Rodon before. He's got so much potential. I hope that he can live up and be in the big city potential and be what he was with Chicago and the Giants.
The hope is that he gets healthier and that he settles down a bit, because maybe being in New York shook him up a bit.
Yeah, I think
that's
why
he struggled.
Yeah. So, who's next?
Speaking of injuries and turnover, how about the Rays?
Yes.
Glasnow is gone.
Glasnow's gone.
McClanahan, Springs, Rasmussen are hurt.
Yep.
You have, what's his name? Baez coming back later in the year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, not the healthiest rotation I've ever seen. But, I forgot about Wander Franco. Don't even get started.
No, we don't need to talk about
that. We don't need to talk about that.
He's never seeing MLB ever again.
Yeah, exactly. He was talking about how we don't talk about controversy very much on podcasts. Wander Franco has been the epicenter of controversy.
Yeah.
So we'll avoid that, but there's still the Rays to me. Kevin Cash, I've called him a micromanager in the past. I hate how he does the bullpen game, but he manages a scrappy team who always finds ways to win games. He just pieces it together with his rotation and his lineup, and they have a good lineup. They have a Rosarena, they have Diaz, Paredes with the 30 home run. He's a 30 home run hitter. You had the two Lowe's and Siri each hitting 20 home runs. They got some fight. And I think if that lineup can, you know, help carry them a little bit until those other guys come back and they're healthy, I think that's why they got that edge, because they have that scrappy play and the ability to win, I guess, and put it together somehow.
Yeah. I'm only rooting for them because Eflin's on the team.
Yes.
But I don't know. This year just feels like they're not going to... It's just something about, like, the Rays aren't going to be good.
I felt that way last year.
I think you did pick that, like, they were going to be a team that didn't do well.
And they did well.
Yeah, I think, like, you don't really know a ton of players on that team. You're just like, crap, who's this guy? All of a sudden, he's an all-star.
Well,
what
exactly, because Kevin Cash makes them all-stars.
Yeah, I could see them really finishing fourth in that division and struggling just because of star power. Eflin's their opening day starter.
Yeah.
And he's had knee injuries. I loved Eflin. I wish he was stay with the Phillies instead of Taiwan Walker. Good Lord. Don't get me started, people. But I could see them finishing fourth. I could see them finishing first, because they always seem to find a way.
Yes.
And that's annoying. But
those are the annoying teams. It's great when you're that team.
Yeah. Is McClanahan going to be back by the end of the year?
I think so.
Because that would be a big...
I don't think all of them are out for the year.
No, I think... Well, no. two of them are, because they lost him last year. McClanahan at the beginning of the year last year.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if
I think he's coming back this year. Okay. I don't know when.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be at the very end.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, so that leaves...
That leaves one more team to talk about in the American League. The team I'm choosing to win the AL East, and a team that, you know what, I'm just going to make... I don't know if it's a hot take prediction. I'm just going to say it. The Baltimore Orioles are going to go win the American League pennant this year.
Oh, there we go. So winning the division and winning the AL.
Yes. Firstly, they won 100 games last year, exceeding expectations. They have Rookie of the Year Gunnar Henderson. Just as deserving of note is Adley Rutschman. You have Austin Hayes anchoring left. The hyped up Jackson Holliday is on the way.
Yeah.
And playing right is Santander.
Yep.
They did take a hit with their rotation, though. Was it Bradish? I think it was. Yeah. He's not starting the year. He has UCL stuff, too. So
they also lost their closer last year, Batista.
Batista.
Yeah, they lost Batista. That's
big, too.
Tommy John.
Yeah. But they got Corbin Burns.
Yeah, they did.
On what was a steal of a trade. So I'm going to just say, if you're a Baltimore fan, you got to be excited for this year.
Calling out you, Zach Rallo and Kyle Robbins.
Yes. And definitely coming a long way from where they were 5 years ago. Remember the 2018-2019 Orioles?
Oh, my God.
It was great when the Yankees played them because they would just hit home runs. But no, I think the script has been flipped this time around.
I 100% agree. I think the Orioles, this is their time. They now have expectations on them. And obviously, they didn't win a playoff game against the Rangers, but they have definitely are like, they might be the team to beat. Like, they're almost viewed as a team to beat, basically, because of just all the hype around them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they're kind of fun. Like, they're not like an annoying team. They're just right now, like, probably would be in a couple years, just be like, all right, if they have like a dynasty type thing. But right now, they're the young, up-and-coming team that has a lot of fun players to watch. I love Grayson Rodriguez, their pitcher. Oh, my gosh. I love him. So, yeah, I think that I agree with that. I agree with the Orioles being the best team. Ooh, yeah, that's a we're watching MLB Network. And was that no, that wasn't Newt Barr, was it?
No, it wasn't. Like, I didn't see who that was.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a collision in the outfield and got hurt. But, yeah, anything more on the AL East?
No.
Okay.
Again, this was a division. Well, it's always been a division that I've loathed playing in, but it is exciting because there's a lot of competition generally, and I expect that to continue this year.
Yes, I agree. All right, to finish up our season preview with the divisions, we are going to finish with the NL East. And again, another lowly team, the Washington Nationals. Terrible team. Yeah. I don't know, they have some prospects that are on the up and coming, but they signed Joey Gallo. Yay. Oh no, like they have Gray leading the rotation and CJ Abrams being hoping to be like the catalyst. But I don't see him as like a player that is going to be like Corbin Carroll. I see him more as he could be good, but I just don't see him being really good until he gets more support with him. The Nationals are going to suck. I don't see them being good.
They didn't even keep their cherry blossom jerseys.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't, right?
That's uniform stuff anyway. Yeah. But yeah, the prospects and Abrams are kind of like things you have to watch for, but they should be the worst team in the NL East.
Agreed.
Yeah. This is where my next team is, the Mets. The Mets are going to Met. I don't see them. Their rotation sucks. freaking their opening day starter is, Jose Quintana. Jose Quintana is your opening day starter, and you're the Mets. Come on, going from last year with Verlander and Scherzer.
It's a drop-off.
Yeah, where they had DeGrom a year or two ago. Like, the Mets are going to Met. They signed J.D. Martinez. They have Lindor. They have Alonso, McNeil.
They have Seve.
Yeah, they have Seve. Yeah, but I think the Mets are going to Met still, and they're going to finish terrible. Not terrible, terrible, but I just don't see them being a great team at all. I really don't have – Edwin Diaz is back. That'll help their bullpen. But their rotation is not deep because Senga is starting on the IL.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, and they have Sean Manaea and Seve who are trying to do bounce back play. Like, they just have a lot of players that are trying to do bounce back type.
Yes.
And that's never a recipe for success. Mm-mm. And the Mets are going to Met. That's honestly – I don't have much more to it.
Mets will Met.
Yeah. Marlins next. They will not have Alcantara, and they signed Tim Anderson. What else? They didn't do really anything else. Honestly, the biggest story that's come out of them is Jazz Chisholm talking about how veteran leadership during the couple years ago when he was coming up sucked. He basically calling out the players that he was like, hey, this guy sucked. And they were basically talking about Miguel Rojas, who's now with the Dodgers. Like, that's the biggest story they had. They didn't really do anything. They don't have any firepower whatsoever to that team. Like, they made the playoffs last year, but they were not a playoff team. The Phillies were overmatched them easily.
No.
And they also have Alcantara's number, too, when the Phillies play them. So, but here's the thing. Sixto Sanchez made the opening day roster, and he looks like Pablo Sandoval. It's
in a good way or a bad way?
Bad way. Bad way. Okay. Yeah. Sandoval actually lost weight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But no, the Marlins are going to, I don't see the Marlins, like, they are going to be an okay team just because they have, it's like, they're always kind of like that scrap. Like, they don't have a ton of talent, but they have enough talent to be like, yeah, we'll be here, but we're not going to do anything great.
Yeah, I think that's just the story in the Marlins. Just like, we're here and we're not going to do anything great.
Yeah.
That's like their tagline.
Yeah.
Year after year.
I could see them trading Lizardo by the trade deadline. They're not going to trade Alcantara because he's injured and he's under contract. But Lizardo's got club control. I could see them trading for some prospects and just doing that rebuild. But other than that, they don't really have... They have Yuri Perez, who I like a lot, who's going to be 21 years old. They shut him down last year at the end of the year because he was 20 years old and he had too many pitches. Like, God, if you
just go Steven Strasburg on him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Next, we have the Phillies. I don't think they're going to win the division, but they're still going to be one of the better teams in the NL.
I agree.
It all relies on how healthy we are. If we get the healthy Turner or the good Turner, we get a healthy Harper who's had back issues already this year. Rotation, you have Wheeler and Nola coming up 1-2, easily one of the top 1-2 bunches in baseball. Taylor would agree with, would disagree with me because he doesn't like Aaron Nola. But I have a fun kind of wager with Taylor. I can't remember the exact specifics, but I said that Nola is going to win could be top 10 in Cy Young voting, I believe. I don't know. Taylor, you have to tell me about that. But it's funny that MLB literally just put out that the Phillies have the best bullpen in Major League Baseball based off of WAR, and I think the bullpen is the biggest concern of the entire team. Like, the lineup is a good lineup, really good lineup. Rotation, really good rotation with Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, who hasn't allowed a run in spring training through, like, 12 innings. Tywin Walker's going to start the season in the IL because he's got arm fatigue or whatever, but no one likes Walker. Sanchez is going to hopefully do well. He's picked up some velocity. And then Spencer Turnbull is going to be the number 5 in the rotation. So that's kind of like the only thing. Like, the 5 is kind of like the only, because I think Sanchez is going to do well. But their bullpen, Kirkring starting in the IL to begin the year. But you have Alvarado, Hoffman, Sir Anthony, Strom just signed an extension. Brogdon's hopefully going to be doing okay. I could see them. I could see the bullpen being the biggest concern, but they're going to be hopefully a 90-win team. And that leads me to the Braves. I think the Braves are going to be the best team in the entire NL. I'm picking them right now to win the NL, the entire NL. And so if that matchup would be, it would be the Orioles versus the Braves in the World Series. So it'd be very rooting hard for the Orioles. Would you be rooting for the Braves?
I would have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Braves are the best team. I think that they have the best lineup. I don't think they're going to be as good a lineup as they were last year. It seemed like they were just like almost like the Bronx Bombers type thing last year.
Yeah.
They went and got Sale, who I think is going to have a bounce back year, not having to worry about being in Boston. They traded and got Jared Kelnick, who has struggled this spring, but I think that he's a good pickup and only will probably face right-handed pitching at times. But the Braves have Acuna, Olson, Riley, Harris, Albies, all those guys. Like, just fantastic lineup. 1-7, pretty much, is just solid. Like, you don't want to face them.
No.
And I think they're going to be definitely a juggernaut. I don't think the Phillies are going to overtake them. The only way the Phillies overtake them is I think the Braves have a couple injuries and the Phillies stay healthy and just reach potential. That's the only way I see this happening. But Braves are the best team. The only thing, the Braves are kind of hit or miss of the bullpen. Like, that could be their biggest issue. But their rotation with Fried, Sale,
Sale.
Strider, who's the other guy? They sent down Bryce Elder, who was a freaking all-star
Morton.
Last year. Yeah, Charlie Morton. He's kind of had some injury problems recently. But they sent down Bryce Elder to start the season in the he was an all-star last year, and he's starting in the AAA. So the fact that that's happening, like, that means that they have a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I that's what I think for the NL East Braves. I know some people were like, "Yo, the Phillies are going to be better this year with it," but I think the Phillies are going to be good this year. But I still think the Braves are the team to beat in the NL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that would be the Braves versus the Orioles in the World Series. Who would you take in that World Series?
You know, it's interesting. No other team in the history of baseball prior to the Atlanta Braves last year had a 500 slugging percentage for a team. For a team.
Yeah.
Not the 27 Yankees. Not any of, like, those Oakland A's teams with McGuire and Canseco.
Not even the Astros when they cheated?
Not even the Astros when they cheated.
Hmm, interesting.
The Braves had a 500 slugging percentage as a team.
Yeah.
And that they were the leaders in baseball by a long shot.
Yeah.
307 home runs. I think they have, like, so much firepower that I would probably take Atlanta in that series.
Yeah.
I think they're more complete than Baltimore is, and I think they're just going to slug the heck out of that rotation.
Even with the left field in Baltimore?
Even with the left field in Baltimore.
Interesting. Okay. I probably would take the Braves, but I'd probably take them in a six or seven game series. I don't think it would be
I don't think it would be a sweep.
I don't think it'd be I don't think it'd be a 4 or 5 game series. I think that it would depend upon how good the rotation is for Baltimore, because I think the Baltimore's offense and defense, because they're young, they're going to have a lot of energy and a lot of, like, enthusiasm to be there. But I think the Braves kind of have that veteran, like, leadership type thing that they've been there in the they've won the World Series before. So I think they have that type of as long as the Braves don't run into the Phillies in the playoffs. That's what that's what I think is going to happen. I think the Phillies, the Braves and the Phillies are not going to run into each other in the playoffs. That's what I think. And I think the Braves would take it. Yeah. So both of us picking the Braves then in the World Series.
Yes.
All right. Look at that, people. We come to agreement on something. Did you pick a Cy Young or MVP vote? MVP?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I did. Do you want me to share and you maybe pick just randomly?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So my MVP is going to be Mookie. I think the Dodgers are just going to be fantastic. And
I can see that.
I can see Mookie being just having like a 40 home run, 300, and, you know, just be like that best player on that team with Freeman maybe and Ohtani maybe not being as good as they can be. But because they don't want to face those guys, Mookie sees a lot better pitches or something like that.
You think Tatis could be an MVP candidate?
Maybe. Wait, who?
Tatis.
I thought you said Bautista. I was like, wait a minute. Nah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. He could be, but I think that Betts is going to win it. And then do you want to go through who's your MVP?
For the American League?
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
If I had to
I want to do an Orioles guy.
Okay, I was going to do Judge.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm gonna just throw it out there. I'll say Rushman.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah,
you know, he hits 25, 30 home runs, 300 batting average as a catcher with the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
That's easily recipe for success.
Yeah.
For MVP, kind of like what Buster did a couple years ago when he won the MVP.
Yeah, I think he got overshadowed by Gunner a little last year.
Mm.
I think he'll break out this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he still had a great year last year, but I think because Gunner was the rookie of the year.
Yeah. Adley's like the heart of that team because he was kind of like the first exciting guy to come up, and it'll be I agree with that. All right, so we got Mookie and Adley being the MVPs. My Cy Young, Tyler Glasnow. He's going to L.A., pitching in a...
Not even your boy?
Nola?
Wheeler.
Oh, Wheeler? No, I think Wheeler's going to be good, but I think Glasnow is going to be, like... I just think that Glasnow is going to end up taking it. Mm-hmm. I can see Wheeler being 2 or 3, but I see Glasnow going to a new team that even though that the Braves were a good team, I think that Dave Roberts will give him a little bit more leeway than Kevin Cash would. And he's not going to have to be like, oh, I have to be the guy, you know, like with, even though he had McClanahan and some other good guys, he's not going to be, he's just a better, more high expectation team. I think he's going to do well. You know, 200 some strikeouts, ERA in the high twos, just being a really good pitcher this year. And coming back, he came back last year, did well with the Rays. I'd see him going to Dodgers and being really well and winning a Cy Young. All right, who's your AL Cy Young winner?
I would love to say Cole, but
that's not
happening.
Not happening this year.
I'm going to go with the Orioles again.
Oh, look at this.
I'm going to go with Corbin Burns.
Dang, look at this. We got the Dodgers and Orioles winning all the awards except for the championship.
I think it'll change with Rookie of the Year, but we'll get to that.
Okay. Oh, I didn't pick a Rookie of the Year.
I did.
You picked a Rookie of the Year?
Like, I did like a scan of it, and I thought it was like one of the more obvious choices for Rookie of the Year.
I don't even know. Because most of the rookie of like candidates that are kind of exciting are all in the AL, I feel like.
A lot of them are, yeah.
Yeah.
The one I was going to go with the Rookie of the Year is Wyatt Langford for Texas.
I can
because of his spring training. Have you seen his spring training? He's been crazy.
Yeah. Carter could win Rookie of the Year too because he didn't reach his limit either. So you got two Rookie of the Year candidates for the Rangers.
Yeah. I don't know about the National League.
Yeah. I can't even off the top
Yamamoto?
Yeah, that's probably the best shot, I would say, but he's not a rookie. Like I don't know.
He's technically is.
Technically he is. The Phillies don't have any rookies that are gonna win it. Braves don't have any rookies that are gonna win it. The Brewers have that one guy. But I think he's gonna start in the minors. I think maybe you could see someone from Pittsburgh maybe coming up. Like if Skeens comes up and wins it, maybe. There's no one that I'm just like, man, he's going to win Rookie of the Year. There's going to be a call-up. That's what's going to be. It's going to be a call-up that wins Rookie of the Year for the NL.
I would see that.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else. I'll go with Yamamoto. It's probably the easy betting favorite to win it, too.
Yeah.
So look at that. We got all the Dodgers and Orioles winning.
And
one Ranger winning all the accolades, and then the Braves winning the World Series. So
it's a weird year.
Put it in the books, people. Put it in the books. Go bet on it. No, don't bet on it. We don't like the betting. Betting is ruining sports here.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't have a hot take for you. That's what we got. Season preview. Braves winning the World Series. And hopefully the Orioles will be a fun team to watch. Hopefully the Yankees are healthy so we get some good Yankee talk and it's not, you know, all the injuries and everything. Because I think the Phillies are going to be pretty good. They should be. If they're not, it's going to be really negative around here.
The Phillies are a weird team to me.
Yeah?
Just because, like, on paper, they should be going to the World Series, I think.
I agree.
Consistently.
Yeah.
And you just look with Schwarber and Castellanos and Turner and Harper and Realmuto. And while they still do really well, of course, they make the postseason, I feel like they could do better than what it is on paper. Look at the Diamondback series. That lineup just floundered at the end.
Yeah.
So I want to have positive talk, too, for the Phillies and just not have them talk about, Schwarber's striking out a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So
I could see... I mean, you look at Turner's second half when he got the ovation, like his numbers for a 162-game season based off of after the ovation was like 55 homers, 300-something batting average, 170 RBIs. Like, he could win MVP this year easily. If Harper goes down, I see, like, and is injured or some of the guys are just injured throughout the season, I could see Turner winning MVP pretty easily if Betts doesn't.
Well, Harper's permanent first baseman right now, right?
Yeah, there was a report that says, oh, the Phillies are looking for a left-handed outfielder. I'm like, congratulations, you have one playing first base. Like, I don't get it. I know they're trying to protect him, but it's not like it's not like the outfield pretty much ruined his entire, like, he's had back issues most of his career. That's been his biggest problem. He got torn his UCL from throwing. Like, he's still going to make throws from first base. He's not going to make the super long throws, but he's still going to have to make throws. Like, yeah. I don't understand how. And then the other injuries, we got hit in the hand and the face. Like, I don't get it.
Harper's kind of the soul of the team, though. If he goes down again, that's a big hit. Not just in terms of his talent, but also morale.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He needs to be in the lineup just for morale purposes. And also putting seats in Citizens Bank Park. They're going to sell out most of the games. But, yeah. Anything else you going to add?
No, I just hope to get to Citizens Bank this year. I didn't get to last year.
We're going to go with the Yankees series.
Oh, true. We haven't settled on a date for that.
We haven't settled on a date because we got to figure that out. Yeah. But
we're going to go with that.
Yeah. It's going to be... I know I'm excited for baseball to be back. I was so bored with football. I'm so ready for baseball. Opening day is going to be great. I still think that's dumb that they put Friday off for everyone, even after starting the season, because it's like, great, baseball. You know what? No baseball the next day. I know they do it for the rain delay purposes, but it's dumb. Mm-hmm. It's dumb. Yeah, people. I know we went a little bit long, but this is a season preview. It's kind of all of our predictions. Indeed. And all that. So it's a fun podcast because we're excited. So hopefully you enjoyed. If you have any takes on, you know, who's going to win, if you think we're wrong, let us know. I know Taylor will let us know because Taylor gives me feedback every episode. But you know, we want to hear from you. You know, respond to Twitter, Instagram. You know, if you know or have our number, text us. We want to hear from you so that way we can get you on and kind of give some feedback on it. But thanks for listening. Enjoy opening day and go Phils.
Go Yankees.